This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes. All right, hello, what's up? RMR Training Podcast, just two of us holding it down. Joining me today, the one and only Meg Jacoby. Meg, what's up? Fresh off a run?
Fresh off a run. Had a really fun workout today with the crew. Did some high-intensity, CrossFit-y, high-roxy stuff.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Seems like it's been something you've been thinking about with just how the high-intensity kind of keeps everything sharp. Or like, sometimes I think about this, I call it like developing gears, right? Like,
yes,
having different outputs.
Yes.
We can get stuck in high rocks. We're just like slow.
100%. And I think that probably in the middle of my season last year, that's how I kind of felt. And it was like, you know, I got to a point, I had broken the record in my second race, and then I kind of stayed there. Like I did have a one race mishap, but I kind of stayed in that like 61 to 62 range for like a little while, like a couple races. And then we really started working on different style workouts, like kind of after that, the European Championship last year. And that's then when I, you know, really kind of saw the benefit happen leading up to Anaheim in May when I went sub 60. So like, I think for a while I was doing a ton of long grindy stuff, and like, that's the risk there, is you get stuck in that pace, and it's like, it's not bad, but you're not going to see improvement potentially, or at least maybe not as quickly as I was hoping.
You're just
for
like developing a hole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So this year, that's something I definitely kept in mind. And one thing that a lot of people had kind of said to me from when I raced in Chicago was like, so many people commented on my size being bigger this year. Like my muscles are a lot bigger right now than they were last year. And that was another thing that I've really toyed with in my training, is like doing those real long grindy pieces also like made me become just progressively smaller as an athlete. And I felt like I lost a lot of the power I had when I initially came in, because I had so much strength behind me coming in from having really focused on powerlifting and like heavy lifting, kind of up until I started working with you like 6 weeks out of my first race. And then kind of got into the really long aerobic stuff. And I felt like I kind of lost that power output that I had come in with. So this year, and even in the summertime, a ton of my training was super high intense Metcons, pushing weight in them too, incorporating high rocks pieces, but doing it where, you know, the interval work wasn't super long. It was like sometimes only 20 cows, or like today I did 15 cows, and like I was able to full send it as hard as I possibly could. And I think having the balance of those two aspects in your training is actually super important in Hyrox. And so I feel that I am seeing the benefit. I feel like my body is staying the way that I want it to be. I'm super strong and super powerful, but I'm still able to develop my speed. My endurance has been super high. So having the blend of both, I think, is very important for Hyrox.
The doing like the longer endurancey pieces, like for strength in general, I'm sure you've found this, like maintaining high end strength, it doesn't take a ton, right? Like you don't have to be grinding the way that powerlifters might. And like when you were first lifting, it was like a lot of accessories, so you could be strong at the power lifts, right? But to stay like, but you haven't lost almost any strength, and like you're not training necessarily like a powerlifter anymore. But when you start getting those long grindier things, like you can stay like strong, but like you're gonna be doing a lot more like catabolic work. Your body's gonna be breaking down, so like you will potentially lose muscle mass in there, and which could, like just hurt how much you can contract the muscles because it's less,
right?
So like it makes sense on the PowerPoint. I think what happened was after Chicago, there was DECA. And you had qualified for just DECA mile.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So that was one of the reasons why we sharpened up. We're like, let's see about some speed. Let's do some faster, quicker stuff. And, you know, some DECA E stuff. But we were doing some faster things. And I remember that was something in the beginning when it would be like the runs, be like 5x800, run these as hard as you can, rest 2 minutes. You're like, I did 8. And rested less because like you just weren't going, like you wouldn't go all the way into it. Like I wouldn't go all the way in. I would rather just be grindy.
Yeah, that's actually extremely accurate to like who I have been many times in my life. It's like, this is it. I'm just going to add this, 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 and this because now I feel like I got a full workout. Right.
Right. You know, because that's an hour. Right.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And sometimes I could see it being challenging to do or to wrap because I don't do a ton. I guess I have done a better job this time to do. I focused on the machines a lot and some of the stations. I've been working at the higher end on the stations almost for the same for the same purpose. Like, let's work on being faster through them and making the RPE feel like less when it comes into the events and really kind of blowing things up like while going at this high end. So doing like, I've done a lot more 2 minute intervals, 2.5 minute intervals beyond my aerobic threshold. And even on the machines too, I'll be like kind of working at zone 4, which isn't really a place we're going to play a lot in.
Right.
But I've been enjoying the variety of energy systems that we're putting out there. Because we can still get the grindy stuff in. You don't need to do it every day.
For sure.
It doesn't need to be like, it's like, how many longer?
Once a week even.
Yeah.
Has been kind of what I've been doing. And it's like, it's been working. So it doesn't need to be 3 times a week, you know, or even more. And even in like the shorter, like AMRAP style or, you know, the shorter Metcon stuff. That's one of the reasons I've been enjoying since I started hybrid going to a CrossFit gym, because I do appreciate that when I show up and it's a 15 minute, you know, AMRAP or something, like I am able to go to that dark place of just giving it everything I have. And then it's like over. So you're just working that high intense aspect. And even if it's not exactly Hyrox movements, that's going to play a role positively on your, you know, your cardio system. And you're able to handle that intensity, even if you spike a little over that intensity that you want to be at in a Hyrox, like I think you can handle it better.
Of course, we're always like trying to develop these energy systems, right? Like, all right, we'll spend this much time zone 3, zone 4, zone 2, whatever, and like trying to get all of our pieces. But sometimes there's something to be said just about like how hard something is and how hard it feels when you're doing it in training and like how your RPE is just going to feel like less. So even if it's like, all right, we're not spending too much time in zone 4 or zone 5, like zone 4, maybe at the very end of the race, like maybe the last third, you can like manage that. Zone 5, maybe just wall balls. But like, you don't need to spend a ton of time there, but there's something to be said about just like making it hard and having it feel less hard on like when it comes time to the competition.
Right. Right.
You've been doing some media stuff. You've been all over the place. This is like a lot of Meg Jacoby this week. I've been hearing you everywhere.
Thank you. Yeah. So I did a podcast with Greg from The Rock's Life earlier this week. And again, just talked a lot about this kind of stuff. A lot of the questions are like, what have you changed this year? And some cool things about I like my favorite moments or all-time moments that I've had so far in High Rocks. And I think my answer was probably going to be, it's probably interesting to people because my best and worst moment is the same moment. It's World Championships. So my best moment is that my first season, I came in second in the world by like 30 seconds or whatever. My worst moment is also that I came in second at the Worlds in my first race. But what I did say was, and I think if you've watched me racing this year, what that lesson taught me at Worlds, I have completely applied it to this season. Mm. And I do not let anyone else dictate how I race anymore. Mm-hmm. I race exactly how I'm going to race. And if you want to beat me, you have to race the way I'm going to race. I feel so far, that might sound cocky, I don't care. That's the way I'm approaching it. So, and it's been paying off for me. And I feel like it instilled a ton of discipline and, you know, we talk about motivation, but it was very motivating for me all summer long with a lot of the training that I was doing. And you know, that goal now is still there. I still have the same ultimate goal as I did a year ago. With some other goals in there that are higher level now, but yeah.
Are you kicking around different ways of racing, or are you just like, hey, what's happened these first two races of the season? Like, this is how it's going to be.
I think that you will see me do a little different. I'm going to do it a little different. I'm just working on it a little bit at a time. But I've worked on my high-end running so much in the last few months since Stockholm that I think you'll see me be very unafraid to go hard pretty early. So
yeah, we talked a couple weeks on the podcast just about like weekly mileage and stuff. I went and saw a guy today. He had to catch a flight this afternoon, so he's not hanging out with us today. But I went down and we grabbed 14 miles. Easy.
Nice.
Did it. That's like a long run.
It's a really long run.
What's the longest you've done in the last like
12?
You hang in like the 12.
I just stop at 12. Yeah. 12, 13. Yeah. You're doing half marathon long runs. I was doing 15-mile long runs when I was training for my half marathons.
That's I think
like every week.
I think 15 is just like when you start getting into what's the longest run you've ever done?
18.
Half, or did you do that in college stuff?
I was actually training for a full when COVID was going on and everything got canceled. So I was already up to 18 miles. I mean, at the time, my long run was regularly 15 miles. So like, it wasn't really that big of a deal, but I was, you know, starting to work my way up and everything was shutting down. And then I said, fuck it. I'm just going to get big. Just going to get big muscles now. Let's go the polar opposite route.
Good thing. Good. You're like, hey, let's get yoked just in case there's an event that needs both. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here it is. Nice, nice job. So we grabbed 14, and both of our mileages were around 70 this week. And
dang.
Yeah. I was 69.25 and Kent was 68. So I'm fired up about that.
Nice. I hit 62 this week. So I'm up two.
You don't need to do anything. Right. Like, we got talking. Yeah. About like some off season stuff, just like kind of like seeing about like where the season, like how to project after these next two majors. What's the most miles that you think would be beneficial? Like if you did like 80 miles a week,
I know for a fact I know for a fact for myself, from having done 80 mile weeks regularly in the past, that that is not a good place for me.
No, it's too much.
It's too much. I'll start feeling tweaks here and there from things. And I also lose weight. So I will just, I'll thin out. And I think having the strength and the power helps me a lot in this race. So that's something I want to keep. So I really feel like for me, the sweet spot has always been 60 to 65. I recover super well in this space. I'm able to hit the hard days really hard, recover the next day really fast. Like, so that's kind of where I keep it. And when I was dipping up into the 80s, like my recovery was terrible. Like I never really felt great or good. Even it was just kind of like
surviving get through it to the a next lot of thing. The time.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like,
so for me, that's how I am. But you guys, and this is where it differs so much athlete to athlete, you know?
Right. And I'm not sure. And I think like we're sitting here talking about like, oh, what about more? We collectively are probably all doing more than most people.
We're doing significantly more.
Like people are think what we're doing shocked. Is overkill. Yeah.
People are usually shocked. When they ask me this question, the look on their face is like, what?
Like, damn,
like
what?
It's wild. And from talking to a lot of the other elite girls and just seeing what they're doing in their training and like the posting, like I think everyone is doing it probably half of what I'm doing. Maybe with the exception of Lauren. I don't know what Lauren does like mileage-wise.
She's probably putting in pretty...
She's probably pretty high.
Volume. Yeah.
But I would say we're the only two, so...
Right.
You Proof know, there. At least on the girls, women's side.
And on the men's side, like...
Yeah, I'm with you on that, too. I mean, Paleo's probably put in miles. Obviously, you and Kent are put in miles, but yeah. I don't know about... Paleo's not even at your level.
Super high volume. He said that he's kind of trains like how Dylan does. Dylan trains a lot, right? But he's not running a ton of volume. He's on the machines
a lot. Yeah, that's true.
Like Hunter probably doesn't put in like 60, 70, maybe at like peak stuff.
But, yeah.
He does also a lot of like cycling and a lot of other aerobic work. But that's what I'm thinking. Like people probably already think what we're doing is overkill. So it's like, what if we do more? What do we do? Let's get some 100-mile weeks out here. See how it goes.
Yeah, right.
That is just like, so I had my blood work taken and analyzed by this company called Blokes, who we're going to have like a partnership going with. You've kind of talked with them a little bit here or there. But it was interesting talking with this company. And like, it was a really good... it's a good experience so far. Like they took my blood work and then they sent me this thing talking about all like showing me the levels of everything, like whatever. But then I met with this dietitian through like a Zoom call and she was like walking me through what it all meant. And one thing was that I don't have it up right now. I was trying to get it, but like basically there's like some sort of byproduct of this like high carbohydrate diet that I've been participating in for a long time that has me like almost at pre-diabetic when it comes to like this like blood sugar situation in terms of like insulin sensitivity. I'm sure I'm butchering this. I don't have the chart right in front of me here, but I was like, damn. And like really like stuff like that is just like a massive spike in blood sugar because it's overly carbohydrate. If there's not enough protein in your diet, like that can help slow things down, whatever. And that's what I'm thinking. If trying to jump these miles higher, it's like, then how can I account for that type of work? If I'm already like pushing the boundaries of carbohydrate intake, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question.
And like, that's
how the heck are like pro athletes doing this then?
Like
we're all just pre-diabetic people because we like,
well, other people are like, runners are so much smaller than us.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
So you think they're not eating as much as we are?
I don't think they need to worry about muscle mass as much.
That's true. That will. Yeah, they tend to
almost
not.
At all.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe some, like, if we were just doing distance running, maybe we can get away with less carbohydrates, right? If we're just doing like literally 80% of our work at zone two chilling, like, then we could probably supplement these calories a lot more with like fats.
Mm-hmm.
because that'll be what we're using during these zone two burns. But we're just like beyond that point so often where we like
this makes me so nervous to get my blood work taken because I eat a shit ton of sugar.
Oh yeah, and like it what it was like. Kind of, she was like, "Well, do you eat protein? Are you eating enough protein?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Come on now, hammer that stuff." But maybe I just need to like eat more because
more. Yeah,
I've always put it at like a gram per pound of body weight, right? So I'm looking at like 180 gram. Like I can like hit that pretty easily. But I think I just need to like eat more like full proteins and not do like powders. Like, I'll do like a powder like once or twice a day. You mess with powders?
Mm-hmm. No.
No? Straight up just, what are your protein sources?
Meat.
Straight up meat?
Meat.
Just every meal meat?
I eat eggs every day. I buy protein bread. I do Greek yogurt. I do a lot of Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. I do That's protein granola in the Greek yogurt. And I do like the zero sugar Greek yogurt. And then I do a ton of like chicken and ground turkey. I don't not eat red meat, but I don't really eat a lot of red meat. So I'm definitely interested. I really need to get on that because I'm wondering, I don't get a ton of iron from food. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that, you know, as a female athlete, I should probably be paying a little bit closer attention to.
My iron was a little low too. Like it was low.
Yeah. I mean, it's super common. It's very common, but yeah, but especially like if you're a person who tends to stay away, like if you don't eat steak or other red meat sources, like you're already getting less just in your diet in general. So,
and that's where I was. I'm like, Amy does most of the cooking in the evening and she doesn't really like red meat at all. She would rather just like not have it. And like, so when we do have it, it's always like some, like if we have meatballs, they're turkey meatballs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So almost never getting red meat, which I do need to kind of add in more. Have you had anemia problems ever?
No.
That's crazy. Good for you.
It is actually crazy.
Good for you.
If you really think about like the trajectory and, you know, being a Division I runner and running 80 miles at 18. And
you work. You work hard. Shocked. You do a lot.
Oh, I was always a workhorse. Like, this is nothing new. You know, this is just now it's new to other people because they know who I am. Mm, right. But I was always doing this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, what's this here? I'm trying to find this still. So that's great that you haven't been able to. So you're doing something right nutritionally.
Yeah.
But it was illuminating.
My rule of thumb is I always have a protein and a carb together. So I'm never not eating, you know, I'm very rarely eating anything without both things together. And that is so much easier to get, make sure you're getting your protein. If you do that kind of rule of thumb type thing, where you have protein in everything you eat. That's just kind of like a subconscious thing that I do. I don't really eat anything without protein with it. So, and that helps.
That's a great way to look at it. Like, instead of being like, I need a snack, here's just something like a bread or something crunchy or something. Yeah. That's just like, it's like, okay, I'm having this with this and this and making sure everything's accounted for.
Right.
You know, what's actually clutch for this. Another plug is Powerlift. Like I'll drink Powerlift just as like a, with my snacks, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of hydration, keep a little bit of protein coming in. RR15, no, RR20.
Yeah. You don't even know your code.
MJacoby20.
MJacoby20.
So that was some, that's so like these little tweaks I think are interesting. Like I didn't want to get my blood done for a while, like when I had an opportunity maybe a couple of years ago to work with one of these companies, and I was just like, I don't really want to go looking for problems. That was like,
I
legit was like, if there's an issue here and I'm starting like focusing on something else, but right now everything is working, you know?
Yeah.
So like, if I don't need to change anything, but like, yeah, maybe if like I do a little something here or there.
Yeah.
Be good to go.
I was going to start working with a nutrition company, that a friend of mine that I played college sports with, is running. And like, I've just like stalled doing it because I know I should, but I'm pretty good about eating very clean anyway. And I'm kind of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And
for
like,
sure.
do I really want to get hyper-focused on food? Like, you know, like when you come from the running world, you kind of understand that certain things can get obsessive. And I'm not typically that person. Like, I was always the person that like fought against having an eating disorder. Like I, like
we you all were can so have it, not me.
Strict, but I was like, I'm not doing that. Like I was always the rebel in everything.
It's a good so one to I'm be a rebel against.
Like, I know it is. It is. I mean, and I was very restrictive, like very, but, I've always kind of been like the one that's like, fuck that. You know what I mean? I'm going to eat this cookie right in your face, coach, or whatever. So I'm kind of like, I know it probably would be beneficial in some ways, but I'm like, it's that same mindset. Like, do I really want to
start messing really with when it's all working?
Do I want to have to count macros all the time? And like, I am sure that what we consume differs daily, like depending on what your output was that day. Mm-hmm. What your sleep was that day, like just what you have going on. And there are days where I'm probably eating a lot, like significantly more than the day before. And like that kind of fluctuates. I just feel like if you listen to your body enough and you just make sure you're not hungry, like you're good, you know?
And this is something that like I've gone up and down with this. I tracked and counted macros for years. Like I think almost every day for like, maybe 5 years, like some time.
And it was,
yeah. And it was just like helpful for me. I like started to be able to, cause I understand the obsessive thing, right? Like, and like trying to make everything perfect. And after a while it was started to be like, okay, this is just information that I'm collecting. I'll take this information and use it again. And I still weigh myself every morning just to have a good feel for like, okay, yesterday I didn't eat enough yesterday. Maybe I didn't drink enough, like, and the hard work that I did, whatever. And it just ended up being like collecting data after a while. And I was able to kind of pull all sorts of like emotional ties away from it. But I can definitely see how it becomes too much.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that like you and Kent has this as well is like the intuitive understanding of when you are full. And it's not always like so crystal clear. Because like, and usually it's in the other way, right? It's like, you've did a lot of work, you like aren't eating enough. You're always under. So you're never quite all the way there. And that was one thing that was helpful when I started to track and like really bump my calories up. I'd be like, oh, this is what it feels like. This is how I should feel when I'm like full, as opposed to being like, let's try to like eat as little as possible and still like be able to be sort of fueled. Then on the other side, I was like, let's just eat as much as you can to see how it feels.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can tell in my body too. Like I can like look at myself and be like, okay, I'm probably up like 5 pounds from, you know, 2 months ago or something. And I'm usually like spot on.
Just like definition
totally definition. I'm someone who like has really like my core is very strong and stable, but I don't always have like super perfectly visible like
showing
like abs. Uh-huh. I have like a crazy back and crazy shoulders, but like my family genetics, like my brother says the same thing. It's like, that's like a hard part.
Yeah. He's probably well, so mad not about
anymore.
It. He's figured it out.
He's figured it out now, but, so I can always tell like in my core and even in like my upper body pretty quickly, and even in like the way my pants fit really, if, I'm like dropping a couple pounds, you know, you just can tell by like how things fit you or whatever. Over Christmas, the holidays, I was kind of still in that transitional period where I was like just starting working at the gym. We had Stockholm coming up. Then over the holidays, it was like, I was working a lot. I wasn't bringing enough food with me to work. And then I was hitting a lot of really big workouts and I could tell that I was being very disciplined and not eating a ton of cookies and crap.
Right.
I did such a good job. Probably too good of a job.
Right.
I could tell that I was fluctuating a little bit. And so I've actually really focused on that this month, the month of January, of like really making sure I always have food with me on hand, snacks, because you think you're like, oh, it's only a 4-hour shift. A yogurt will be enough. And then I'm like starving, you know? So I am always making sure I have more on hand. And if I don't eat it, then fine. But, like my clients are like, God, you're always eating. And I'm like, yeah, well,
I'm doing
I just
stuff.
Worked out for 3 hours.
Like,
it's a thing, you know?
I was a little concerned about that when you moved into a role that was going to be more physically active. Is this hard to keep up?
And that was definitely part of it too. Like for like the first 2 weeks, my back was lit up every day. By the end of the day, I just could not wait to lay down in my bed flat. Like my back, just from the standing, like just standing not endurance. Being used to standing. I had bad standing endurance, really good running endurance, terrible standing endurance. So that was really interesting because I remember texting you. You guys were like, how's it going? How are things? And I'm like, why the fuck does my back hurt so bad? Like, am I old now? So yeah, just all those like little things. And now it's like, fine. I don't have those issues at all, but it was definitely like a weird adjustment, I guess. And I had said, you know, I sat in a, obviously I was very active with sports, but a lot of my job was sitting at a desk. So, you know, you're not used to being up on your feet for 5 hours in a row or four hours straight. That was a really interesting.
Legit endurance in that.
Yeah, it really was.
Like if my so, feet.
Like my feet like, would hurt.
Yeah.
My knees would feel a little achy and my back would be a little achy just from like the standing. So
you're like picking up weights, moving them around. Like you're just like doing stuff.
Well, and then I was like, I wonder, there's one day I'm going to track how many reps of things I do just demoing.
Right.
I just want to see like what the numbers end up being, because like I'm constantly demoing like Bulgarian split squats and like all these things. And I'm like, I wonder how many reps, just extra reps I get in just from demonstrating things.
Just getting in volume.
You know, it's like, okay, that's interesting.
That's definitely something. And you have to account for it. Like you have to account for it nutritionally. Like when sometimes I'll, and this is just like a byproduct of being an endurance athlete, right? Like I will look at myself and when I'm looking the leanest is like when I'll just be like the happiest and I'm like, oh, I must be in such good shape. But like my performance isn't always the best that when I'm my leanest now. Like now it's like it's a weird balance where it always is like thin, like lean, like no extra whatever. But now with this, I feel like it's less optimal because it's just not able to recover. It's just like showing that I'm not eating enough.
You know?
So if I'm like really like going through a phase where like I'm feeling good, feeling like ripped, then I'm like probably under eating, you know?
Yeah.
Have you found anything like that? Or
if
like,
I don't have muscles that I feel are big enough, I am depressed.
Which ones?
I'm like, what the hell? Delts? Especially my arm. It is like, especially my arms. I feel like because we do so much running volume, it's like, it is harder, obviously, to fit in like leg day stuff pretty regularly. Like you can only, you know, you really have to plan it. You have to plan it out a little bit more. You can get away with doing upper body like every day when you do hybrid, but there will be occasional weeks where like scheduling or just like certain workouts that I know I have to hit, like big Hyrox type workouts. And like, maybe I'm not getting as much lifting in that particular week. At the end of the week, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like it's funny. I literally was thinking that yesterday. I was like, oh my God, I did all cardio today.
Just
like all my workouts were just aerobic cardio. I did a single strength thing. No, I hate that. I have to have something strength in. That's why Hyrox is perfect for me.
For real.
For real. So then today, we did a workout. I posted a reel. So my friends, a couple of them, I asked to take some some videos so I can make the reel. And I was like, oh, I liked how I looked and I was like psyched about it. Like, oh damn, my arms look jacked. You know, we're good. What were you worried about yesterday, weirdo? You know?
Do you, are you upper or lower? What's a better day for you? You arm day or leg?
Oh, I love back. Oh my God. I literally have a day where I do, I mean, it's upper cause I love to bench. I love benching so much. But I love doing like rows, barbell rows, dumbbell rows, pull-ups. You have to do a lot of pull-ups to stay good at pull-ups. Like that's a thing. Mm-hmm. So I do pull-ups like at least 3 times a week.
Are you weighting them? Are you doing like?
I don't do them weighted often. No? I really haven't in a long time. I probably should because my.
Just do like sets of five, five by five.
Yeah. My volume of my pull-ups is getting bigger. Like I can do 12 plus strict in sets of like five. So I should do some more weighted stuff just to like get a little more variety. Cause we're starting to kind of get to some pretty high numbers there, but, yeah, I love pull-ups.
Straight upper.
Yeah.
I just like,
well, I think when you see women bench pressing and doing pull-ups, women don't have those strengths just having them. Like, I feel like men just can sometimes have that strength a just little like bit more naturally.
Frame. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just frame like
musculature.
We have.
It's weight proportion different.
Totally. So I feel very empowered doing those particular exercises because you don't see women doing them if they haven't been putting in the work. Mm-hmm. Like I had to work really hard. So to me, like when I see other women doing that, I'm impressed by that because I know the work. Exactly. So I feel very empowered doing those types of exercises.
Even like one pull-up.
Oh, I know.
One strict pull-up is a like really, like you put in work to do that.
Oh, but totally.
I don't think most women are getting up on, I don't want to speak in generalities, but from my experience as working a one-on-one trainer, like people come in and it's hard. Like I don't, like it's rare that someone will just be like, okay, cool, boom. Unless they're like have a gymnast background or something.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You really do have to put in work. So you're doing 12s. Look at you go.
I did them today at the end of the workout. Sets of 12.
Chin
up, I was like,
chin ups
okay.
Too? You flipping them?
Yes. I do alternate. Actually, I used to be better at pull ups than chin ups, but the other day I was doing sets of 10 chin ups and I was like, oh shit, this might have changed. Like these feel way easier.
They always felt easier for me too. I mean, it's just more bicep up
using
in there.
Using more bicep. Yeah.
Kind of cheating them.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to get those lat in the back. That's hard. It's hard to even like engage. A lot of people have a hard time. It's like the upper trap is like people have, like if you try to flex your upper trap, can you do that? You doing it right
I
now?
But have you seen my traps? I have huge traps.
Just yoked.
Huge. They're always big. So funnily, on Friday at I got inducted to the Hall of Fame at my high school for athletics.
Yeah. Hell
plugging
yeah.
Myself there.
Let's go.
My senior photo on the plaque that they hang up in the school. Senior photo, 17, freaking yoked traps. I was like, I've just always had these, apparently. I didn't even know.
That's
amazing. My friends are like, dude, even then your shoulders and traps were huge. And I was like, yeah, apparently that was.
Wrestling with your brother or something? How do you just gain traps like that? What are you doing?
No idea. I was a runner. I have no idea.
Right? Like playing rugby or something?
No clue.
Yeah. So you're in your high school Hall of Fame. I'm in mine. Kent's definitely not.
Yeah.
No chance of Kent's in his.
That's a bummer.
Nah. So that's
cool. It was nice to get recognized. I had a ton of my former athletes come.
That's cool.
And I think it was really cool. And I think part of the journey that I've loved the most is just being potentially an inspiration and a motivation to just all people, but especially if it's rubbing off on some of the kids that I've been able to coach and work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in general in my former high school, a lot of them knew me, you know, knew who I was because I was coaching for so long there, for 6 years there. Right. That now they talk about it. Like some of my friends who work there are like, oh my God, the kids are always talking about you and like that you're a pro athlete now. And, you know, a lot of them follow me on Instagram and stuff. And so it's cool because I'm hoping it shows them like there's potential after high school and potential after college sports. Yeah. And there's all these cool things that you can do. Cause I think when you're an athlete your whole life, we don't talk about what happens when that stops.
Mm-hmm.
When you grow up being an athlete for, you know, since you were a little kid and you play sports potentially in college or through college, no matter what level it is, Division 1, Division 3, whatever, there's a day where that ends. And then it's like, and now what? And we don't talk about that much, but like I had a lot of life changes happening and like, that was really shocking for me. Like, I remember being like, I don't have to go to practice. Like, what do I do? Do I go work out by myself? Like, I don't, it's just something you're like not used to. And it's like, it's kind of like, it's like the end of like a huge part of your life, in a way. And it's like, it's cool that now there are so many things I think you can get involved with, like beyond, college sports. You know, there's CrossFit, there's Hyrox, there's OCR, there's obviously running. And a lot of people will pick up running and start doing road races and stuff. But it is interesting. So I hope it shows them like there's cool things you can do past your expiration date of like baseball or, you know, because we're lucky that we run, we're runners because you can run your whole life.
There's always going to be.
But what if you're a basketball player or a lacrosse player or a field hockey player? Like, then what? You know, right. It's like you just committed your whole life now up until now. And it's like, and it's just over. I don't know.
Yeah. You have to ask yourself like what you're doing it for. Right. Like, cause there's so much structure around it. Like that you're like, you go here and like you follow it through and like there's practice games, whatever, whatever, like your teammates are here. You're so when it's on yourself,
yeah,
you have to like, you'll find out pretty quick if you really enjoy this or not. And then like,
yes,
figuring out if this is something that you can enjoy or like learning to go after like a new skill or a new challenge. Cause that could also be really hard too. Like moving from something where you are like, where you have excelled, where you've thrived and then not having that and then having to pivot into something else. It's definitely gotta be a challenge and like trying to, and making sure that there is an outlet and showing that there's stuff that you can do and the new challenges are awesome. That's what's cool about this, because this is new stuff to us. Even though it's like
totally,
we're suited for it, but it's still new, right? Yeah. Like, we didn't do this in high school.
No.
So
no, definitely not.
Did you have a speech? It was like at the game.
We had to write like a bio thing, and then they spoke about it, and so, the cool part in that was when they talked about, I had listed my accomplishments in the hybrid space, and I think I've broken set 10 records in 1 year, world records.
Yeah, 10?
I think so. I currently have 6. So when you think about it being 10, it's like, okay, I broke that the first time, then I broke it the second time, the third time I broke.
Counting.
You know what I'm saying?
Not what you currently have. Okay. Yeah.
Not what I currently have. There's 10 different races where I've broken a record.
I see.
And that was something I talked about. And I don't think, like, my community at home, I think, is very aware of what I'm doing. And I've gotten so much positive, you know, feedback, but I don't know that they really understood or knew like truly how successful I had been in this thing. And so then when they were saying these things out loud, like the whole room just started like clapping like super loud. And that was pretty cool. And again, just like having my former athletes there, having, you know, some of my kids there, my daughter there, some of her friends there. It's just like, I'm just hoping that it inspires the kids and to like work hard, because they all know me as the strictest coach and also the one that worked super hard. Cause like if the kids, you know, were out on a long run, I'd hop in the weight room for 30 minutes and just like bang a few things out. Like, cause what am I going to do? Just stand on a track and wait for them? Like they're doing a zone 2 run, you know, like there was certain times, or like I'd get to practice early and I would join them in the lift that they were doing in the weight room, or I would go to the weight room after practice and use the weight room myself for my own workout or whatever. So like they all knew that I was always working hard. So I think I'm just hoping it all like kind of it clicks. And I had a few messages from them that was, I literally was like bawling, like reading the messages. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. This is so sweet.
Yeah, that's really cool. And like, even if it doesn't click for them in that moment, like
someday
in like 10 years, or like, I need to get my shit together.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
My high school coach, like, and she was a single parent and she worked full time. And like, because it doesn't really register. Like, they don't really get it probably, but No. The hope is that in a few years, especially when they start becoming adults on their own and understand like how difficult it is, that they really get it and they're like, oh, like, wow, you know, because I think that's what inspires me most too about other people and just like this community in general. Like, I feel like this community is just so dedicated and disciplined. I mean, even just the random people I see on Instagram, it's like there are other people, there are so many people out there that are just people who enjoy the race. Not even qualifying for things, not even whatever. And they just grind every single day for that one race that they do for Hyrox. Like, that is so cool.
It's awesome.
To think about.
You just did Survive for 55.
Yes.
And when we were rolling this thing out, Kent's like, oh no, it seems like it's pretty hard. I'm like, these people are crazy.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
love it. In this space, the grinding for this long, that's like where it's at. And seeing a challenge that is like, I wonder how that's going to feel. I wonder if I will be able to do that. And I want to find out what it feels like in that moment when I'm come face to face with something really challenging. And I'm going to push into it. Like, because that challenge, not easy. Not that fun.
It was not easy.
Straight up grind.
It was also not fun.
That shit is fun. We had almost... We have like 75 people who did it and submitted scores. So, and people who just tried it. I bet there was over 100 lots people who did this.
I got tagged by a lot of people, I think, that had seen it from other people doing it and did it. And I prescribed it to a few of my athletes for this past week. Just because I was like, you know what? This is really a good workout.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, there's a few ballers in my one-to-one crew that I know can handle this. Like, I'm going to give it to them. And I mean, Jen Segnoli destroyed it.
Dude,
like, she crushed.
I don't doubt that.
I hope she listens to this and then texts me after, but like, she sent me her scores and I was like,
what'd she get?
Can I beat Jen? I don't even know if I can. She was really high. Dude, I know. I think she was really high eights.
Really high eights.
And I would say, and I would say that, like, I probably have just such a huge advantage over people on the wall balls that's like a huge definer for me in this type of workout. So, but
yeah, I mean, I guess that would probably get you like that.
Her machines are no joke.
I mean, the top score
is super powerful.
The top score is from Alondra Greenlee, and was 890, and she's like
nice.
The DECA Strong World Champion, right? So if Jen's like up there. Like, that's pretty good. Yeah. You were
944.
964. Like, this
just saying.
Holler at you. We had a couple dudes up over 11. Austin Tenisoff, Tenelshoff, I think that's how it's pronounced. He 11:41 beat Dylan.
Wow. That's dope. That is beast.
He's a monster.
What did we decide the differentiation from the Echo to the Salt Bike was?
None. I don't know.
We didn't. Ugh, that's crap. I should have got 20 more cals.
Echo's the real way. Bike. Echo's it.
Yeah.
We had it. We had something for the Schwinn. It was like, it's almost like 30% for the Airdyne.
I
mean, like, it definitely feels harder, but it's about the same. Whatever.
Fine. Fine. So, I strongly disagree, but okay.
Popped on the Echo. He did it the real way. That's actually RX. Echo Bikes RX.
That's true RX. Okay. Okay.
So yeah, this might be a cool workout to do once a year. We're going to do another challenge probably sometime in the summer. And you were like, how about we do something more fun this time? I'm like, what?
I had a few people like, you were the one who did the wall balls at the end, weren't you? And I was like, maybe, you know, like that might have been my contribution. I don't know.
Next time we'll try to do something a little bit shorter. A little bit spicier.
Shorter, spicier. Yeah, let's do that.
This is up the alley of the long, long grind.
Totally.
Yes, I'm actually pretty impressed by some of these scores. What else we got going on? 2 weeks till Vienna.
Yeah.
That's like
2 weeks. That crept up fast, didn't it?
This was my last big week. I called this like an acceleration week where I kind of jumped volume across the board. And like we said, I'm up to 70 miles in the running. And I was probably logged like 16 hours total, which is like pretty good for me for a week, where I did this for Chicago and my build was a little bit longer. So I was able to do an 18 hour week that week. But then after this, just like kind of pull back to what I did 2 weeks ago, try to be at the 50s. I think I'm still going to keep my muscular endurance at what it was last week, or maybe even a little bit more. Maybe just a few more reps there and just kind of keep that rolling into the week of the race a little bit more. But aerobically, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I think we did what we could aerobically for this.
I have the same kind of thought. Cause at this point, like, it's really just the workouts we're doing, especially if they're race specific, it's really just to like stay sharp. Like we're not gaining any fitness right now for that will apply to Vienna. Like, yes, we're gaining fitness that will carry over to like the training after Vienna. But like what I do tomorrow is not going to make my race. Like I'm not improving really in these next 2 weeks for this race.
No.
So for me, it's the same thing. It's like, I'm feeling pretty good at where I'm at with mileage. Like maybe I'll drop to like 55 just so I'm even like a tad more fresh. We'll kind of see how it goes. But then like just keeping the strength stuff going that I've been doing, and I'll probably do a little more machine work this week, maybe a little like one longer session and then another session that's a little bit shorter, a little bit more like high intensity, high end, kind of selling out every time a little bit. And yeah, I usually feel pretty good that way. Even like the week of Vienna, it's like I'll probably still hit a hard workout Monday, even we race Friday now. So
yeah, it was Friday.
Definitely Monday. But you know, it's like, that's the hard part about, I think these are not, for me, they're not A races really. Like they are, but they're not, because I'm only racing a handful of times this whole season, but I'm already qualified for Worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really just continuing to execute my race plan and seeing what the last block has done for my fitness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding that blend where you're kind of training through it, but you do want a little bit of a taper so that you have a good day. So it's an interesting like place to be in, I guess.
Nice. Cause it's like,
whereas it is nice.
How much pressure?
I am blessed.
Yeah. That's great.
I am very lucky. Like really not a huge deal no matter what, but, you know, I am looking forward to, seeing what, you know, what the race outcome is based on the training I've put in, because I've been working my tail off. So I am looking forward to that, of course.
Right.
It's the test, you know, it's the test of the knowledge and the work that we've gained. Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So, where it doesn't need to be like a full on big taper. And you might not even really need that anyway.
I don't like that, if I'm being honest.
Like coming,
I feel like I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, what do I do?
Right.
With all this extra time.
That's one thing too.
Like, yeah, how are you feeling heading in?
I'm starting to feel good. Like,
yeah.
I think like my training's ramping up, and we might have talked about it. It's better in my brain to be less than optimal than beyond optimal, than on the backside, right? So I'm still like on my way up to where like my peak fitness can be, but I know I'm not overtrained, you know?
Yeah, which
feels good. And like the sessions are going well. I did a high rocks tempo yesterday, like 65 minutes of those like tempos that we do, 800 and station, 800 station, held everything really consistent. My strength is up for sure. I put a bigger emphasis on that. I need to get into doing upper body. When we're talking about it, I just like, I'm legs, leg day.
Yeah.
That's where I live. Yeah. No, upper body. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Bench pressing. What is this? I got to get those numbers up though.
You got to come brawl out with me.
I know. I need to get, I've been doing a bench once a week. What is the most benching you do in a week?
I bench typically twice a week.
You will bench twice?
Yeah. So I do a heavy day where I'm doing some kind of max rep or, you know, 2 RM, 3 RM, 5 RM, whatever. And then I usually do a dynamic day. So it's like a 5x5 or
we're sticking with
something
that with,
like that. Yeah, it's worked. And I've actually PR'd my bench the week before Chicago.
Yeah.
All time PR. So like, and then 2 weeks ago, I hit 200 pounds in a CrossFit 1RM workout.
Nice.
And I had benched like the day before and I hit 175 for 5x5. So like my bench strength has stayed. And so like, because I work so hard at it, like over the years, like I just like to maintain it for my own brain. Cause I'm like, oh no, like it was so hard to get here and I don't want to lose it. So, but, I do think I think that part of my strength in high rocks, especially on wall balls, is because of my very strong push ability, my overhead push, my bench.
I think
and
it helps
even
on
burpee broad jumps.
At burpee broad jumps, I think
you gotta have some good push.
Upper body helps, like farmers, upper body matters. I just like don't want it to matter.
Yeah,
but it definitely does. Definitely
yeah.
So my strength is up for sure. I haven't tested a one rep. I've been doing a deadlift block. I haven't tested a one rep, but I've like the projections from what I've been doing, it's back to like where I was. Like, so like my one rep in for deadlift is 407. So like the workouts that I'm doing now are projecting that that's where I would be, which is great because I haven't been that strong for maybe like 2 years.
Yeah.
And doing a shitload of lunges, shitload of wall balls, lots of burpee broad jumps. So I put a lot more emphasis on the actual stations because like, and I haven't done any run alone workouts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which I'm shocked by that.
A big change for me.
That's a huge change. That's like the opposite of what I've done too. I've done like most run.
You're already strong. Yeah.
That's true.
Right. Like the, where I'm on the point where it's like, I'm faster than everybody on that line, but I shouldn't be reduced slower than them, you know?
Right.
So I need to like, so it's like the stations that I need to really shore up. And that's the focus that I've kind of put on it. I mean, I'm doing a lot of volume when in the running, but not just like, I'm not doing like thousands or miles or anything right now.
Which is very, it's just so not you to hear.
I know.
So, and it's just funny because you help program for me and it's like, you're giving me that.
That shit works.
It does. It does work.
It works. It works for you for sure. But yeah, it's like, I just need to spend time elsewhere and I'm working like intervals into like, I'll do like row intervals and then I'll do run intervals or something like that. You know?
Maybe okay. Got it. But I like that.
Not like just.
Yeah.
Running. So yeah, we'll be good. We'll be good out in Vienna. Whoever's listening out in Vienna, come say hello Friday night.
Yes.
We throwing down
Friday night. Come watch us. We're at 7.
You're at 7. Yeah. I think we're at 8:30.
Sorry.
When do you fly out?
I am flying over Monday night. So I will land Tuesday morning. Yeah. So I'm getting there early.
How long are you staying?
I just like till Monday.
Okay.
How about you? Same?
We're staying until Tuesday because Amy's coming out.
Oh, good.
So we're going to spend an extra day.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
With Amy.
And then
it'll be great.
So we'll
I'm going to just fifth wheel it with you, Amy, Kent, and Sarah. I'm just going to fifth wheel.
You're in there.
Good. Cool.
And then we're gonna have to try to get some runs in over there. It's gonna be a weird like transition week, you know, like after, but maybe we'll try to get something long in or around the rivers there. It's probably gonna be cold. I haven't checked.
Yeah,
but I'm guessing it's not gonna be
I'm imagining
cold.
I'm imagining cold. Stockholm, I had worn the completely incorrect footwear every day. So I bring some boots. Don't be like me. I had to buy a new pair of boots, which, you know, your girl likes to shop. So
that's
I
no
was
problem.
Fine with it.
That's no problem.
But the first day I was there, I was walking around the little town in Vans sneakers and it had snowed like 7 inches and they do not clear the roads in Europe the way they do in the US. Like no one shovels, so that's like a thing.
Cold feet,
just had cold wet feet the whole time.
Vans don't do that. Yeah, Vans aren't Gore-Tex usually. So got that coming up. Check out the RMR app, still rocking over there. Drink Powerlift, we mentioned. Love Powerlift.
Tonight is the last night for the scores to come in. So
we'll know tomorrow when this is out.
Yes, we will know. Yep. We will know who is the winner of the top prizes. All these awesome prizes.
Yeah, so thanks for everybody who did this. This is like is really great. This is I'm blown away by how many people participated in this and all the people that tagged us and everything. It's like,
yeah,
it's cool. It's fun.
It is cool. And we had a lot of people repeat it too.
That's crazy.
Like did it multiple times.
Yeah. I'm sure. I bet you could do quite a bit better just based off of
pacing. I had said to myself after knowing that I was in the high 900s. I was like, motherfucker, I could get 1,000.
Yeah.
And I even was like, do I do it again? And I was like, no, not yet. Yeah. But eventually down the road, I will do it again and I'll try to get 1,000. I paced myself a little bit too much beginning.
That's the thing. Like the ski could probably push a little harder than you think.
Push a little harder than I thought. And even on the row, I think this was a hard one to stay mentally focused during, like, 20 minutes on the rower. Like, oh my God, I feel like there was a little section probably like in the middle of 5 minutes where I was like kind of chilling a little too much and a little bit like bored, you know what I mean?
I heard that from some people like, oh, I fell asleep on the row. And that's like part of it. And like, yeah, it's like, but it's also hard to understand how to pace like 20 minutes. What's this going to do to me?
Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah. My calves were cramping up. On the row.
On the row?
Yeah.
What's up with your calves?
I don't know.
Blood just doesn't get
there. My calves suck. they just suck. I don't know.
Well, thanks everybody tuning in. Camps. Release camp dates to RMR app members today, Monday, which we're listening to this. And then we'll give it about a week over to RMR. And then after that, we'll release it to the public. Right now, we've already have like 8 people coming back from last year, which is awesome.
So cool. So cool. And we're so appreciative of the support, by the way, to the original camp crew. Much appreciated. OG, you guys loved it so much. You want to come back and hang out with us.
Right.
But yes, so for the RMR app peeps, you guys get kind of like second dibs. We had obviously sent it to our original campers first, but if you are interested and you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or Rich, or you can message us on the RMR Instagram page. So
cool squad. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you soon.